Okay, quick question. When everything around you feels chaotic and uncertain, what is the tiny thing that makes you feel like a human again? Maybe it's a cup of coffee, a weird song, your dog doing something absolutely unhinged. Today, we're talking about how small joys are secretly the most powerful tool you have for getting through the hard stuff. Friends, welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, leadership, and culture in ways that actually help. Now, if you love the show, leave us, please, a 5-star review wherever you are listening. It is free, it is fast, and it fills my heart in a way that is probably not healthy, but I do not care. This month on the show, we are exploring this concept of words at work. And spoiler alert, HR, we're talking about failure, okay? And we're looking at failure and uncertainty through a lens that we do not talk about enough. Joy, specifically the small, silly, cozy, ridiculous joys that keep us going when the big stuff feels overwhelming. Because here's what we get wrong. We think we have to solve the chaos before we can feel good. We think joy is the reward for getting through the hard part. But the research actually says the opposite. Studies show that people who intentionally cultivate small moments of positive emotion during stressful periods are more resilient, more creative, and better at problem solving. Joy is not the prize at the end. It is the fuel that gets you there. So here's the epiphany. You don't need a vacation or a promotion or a complete life overhaul to feel better. You need to notice the tiny good things that are already going right in front of you. That is the whole move. And if this is hitting home, we have a quiz for you in the show notes called How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It helps you discover how you naturally respond to failure and uncertainty and gives you practical techniques you could start using right away. Go take it. The link is in the show notes. Now, let me introduce you to one of my absolute favorite humans on this planet. Friends, buckle up, because today's guest is somebody I adore, like personally adore, Meredith Stepien. I can't even say your name. I'm so excited. Meredith Stepien is a comedian, musician, and writer slash producer living in Chicago with her husband and her dog. She's been creating shows and music in the Chicago area for 17 years. 17 years of making people laugh and feel things and think about things differently. Now, these days, she focuses on content for the Adler Planetarium, which is objectively the coolest job description I have ever heard, as well as her weekly vlog, which you have to check out, where she celebrates the joys of coziness, silliness, and creativity. And you can find her amazing Instagram and link to her YouTube channel in her show notes. She is awesome and Hilaridith Meredith. Now, Meredith is one of those people who makes you feel better just by being in her orbit. She's warm, she's funny, and she's figured out something that most of us are still struggling with, which is how to find the good stuff, even when everything is a mess. Meredith? Welcome. Welcome to Workday Playdate.
Oh my goodness, that was such a nice little intro. And you, like, didn't even say or anything.
Wow. Oh my God, thank you.
You flew through it and did it perfectly. Like, you're a one-take snake.
One-take snake. Well, I got Hilaridith out of it. I feel like that was, you know, that was my gift. No, that wasn't planned. That was a no mistake, only gift, you know? That was my gift.
Yeah, here's a secret about Erin. She actually all the improv we do is actually fully scripted.
I'm such a good memorizer. I've been memorizing.
We had to sign NDAs.
Yeah, since 2013. I love you. I'm so happy you're here. Like, genuinely, I mean all those things. My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passionstruck Network. Now back to our show.
Let's just start. Let's do a little, mind meld action, okay? And I want you to think of an intention, a one-word intention like we do in our workshops for the show, something you want to either receive or something you want to give.
Oh, this is nice. I like that this is a little connection break. I know I'm supposed to just pick one word though, right? Connection.
Yeah, whatever.
Connection.
Connection.
Yeah. I feel like every time we get together, it is kind of like, this is nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a nice, like, escape from anything else I was supposed to do.
I know. Me too. And this is literally a play date at work.
Mm-hmm. It is. Okay. I'm at work right now. I'm in a room that is typically used for green screen filming. And I didn't actually... Ooh, I didn't reserve the room, but I don't think anyone else is using it today.
If somebody comes, they're going to join. Okay, so it's just like, we'll just bring them on the show too. We'll give them a quick bio. Maybe they'll get a name like Hilaritas.
Exactly.
Okay, if they're lucky. So, okay, where are we besides in real life? Like, if you could be anywhere on this play day, where would you be?
Oh, like I pick a spot?
Yeah, where are we going?
Probably like my Animal Crossing island. Is that what you mean? Like, literally, like, are we imagining ourselves somewhere?
Exactly what I mean. I just love you so much.
I just wish my Animal Crossing island was real so often. Like,
talk about the Animal Crossing island. What is the Animal Crossing island?
Mine's called Moontoot, and the theme is basically that I'm a moon witch. You know, my character's a moon witch, and all my, like, villagers, they kind of know, and they come to me for different spells. But yeah, I have different spots around the island for, like, casting different spells. There's a lot of star magic going on. And then I'm very seasonal. I'm very seasonal. So right now, it's all decked out for spring. Everything is spring decor.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just beautiful. I have a waterfall behind my house. And then my husband, you know, because in Animal Crossing, you don't live with your husband. They have their own house. Okay. So his house is right next door to mine. And it's just nice. We have our own little corner with like a waterfall and our own garden. And we're just like a hop, skip, and a jump away from downtown.
I love this so much. Do you garden in the garden? Like, what are you planting in the garden?
I used to be really big into the gardening, and now everything is just set and it auto grows.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're now automating.
Yeah. Like I've you know, my time on Animal Crossing now is truly just an escape. Like I just need to go be around my villagers. I'm going to find whatever fossils are out that day and I'm going to redecorate for whatever season it is and participate in the seasonal activities. But I'm not like trying to do anything new. I'm a billionaire on Animal Crossing.
What? A billionaire?
I have millions of bells. That's the currency.
Billionaire. Okay.
Yeah, on Animal Crossing, that's the currency. Animal Crossing is basically like a cozy game about capitalism. So
I was just going to say, should I let Jackson play it? My 7-year-old son.
Honestly, he won't make that connection. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, okay, maybe yes, but just don't, like, it'll take a couple of years for him to discover capitalism. And then he definitely will come to me with questions.
Here's my advice to all parents who are starting an Animal Crossing island with their kids. Because you as a parent will get addicted as well.
Uh-huh.
And your kid's not going to be as good at the game as you. Okay. So I always say let the parent be the own, because only one person can be like the main owner of the island.
Okay.
So when you set up your account, you're the main owner, and then let Jackson be just living on your island. Trust me. I can't tell you how often I've had parents complain that, like, their kids just aren't doing a good enough job at the island.
get your own island because you're ruining mine. Okay. Well, he's, like, into, I can't even remember, Roblox is one of them. He's making donut shops. I can't remember the games. He's like, Mom, I built an ice cream shop and I've been selling donuts and I've got like...
Oh, that sounds nice.
I don't know what that one is. But okay, Animal Crossing. I'm putting that on my list when he's 10. Okay. Already? This is my favorite. Don't tell anybody. don't say
that. Your favorite podcast?
I didn't say that. It almost came out.
Do you say that to everyone?
No, it was like my favorite day. Yes. Yes, Meredith. I love you. So, okay. Just everybody should know this. You've been the facilitator at Improve It for like since 2016. So 10 years.
Wow.
10 years. And we are going to celebrate that this year. Fun spoiler alert for you.
Oh.
But I've known you a long time. And I've seen, we've done so many friend trips. We've done so many friend field trips. And that's what our work feels like, friend field trips. Where we travel all over the world and genuinely love doing workshops together. You're always like, you always bring me joy. You bring everybody joy. But I want to know, what makes Meredith happy? Like genuinely, deeply, stupidly happy.
Okay, this is a great question because this has been, it's been like on my mind for the last few years.
Love, okay.
And I've actually been talking about it a lot. So this is like, because I started to like really explore like what is true happiness? Because for a long time, I thought I knew what I wanted out of life. And as a performer, so much of that is like success. Like, what does success look like for a performer? And like, from the outside, people are like, oh, if I see you on TV, then that means you're successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like the world has changed a lot. And also like success is a metric that's like made up and you can decide what is success, you know, for yourself. And everything that you were saying earlier about finding joy in the little things has been like a huge goal of mine for the last few years. Because I started to just kind of like I had like a low point where, especially like just before the pandemic, I started to feel like, where's my career going? And then the pandemic like really kind of paused all of our careers, especially performers. But I also think it like gave us a moment to reflect on what is important. And also my own happiness and joy in life is really important to me. And I just kind of reached a point where it's like, I don't want to live a life anymore where I'm comparing myself to others or I'm holding myself to standards that are just made up. I started thinking a lot about like, what's real? Like, what are, you know what I mean?
I have so many thoughts on this. And let me back up for the peeps listening. Because Meredith, you are like, I'm going to take two steps back and then I'm going to step two forward. Okay. Here's the two back. Meredith, you are such a good performer. You have been on stage for so many years with Star Kids, which is a huge, amazing, fantastic musical / theatrical act. Like, you have Ticketmaster tickets to see your shows. Like, it's insane. Okay. And you have been selected and handpicked by some of the most famous people in comedy. And you are still so humble. And that has not even come out of your mouth in anything you've said. So I needed to humble brag for you. Okay. However, what I also really love that you said is, what is success? And just even thinking about your Animal Crossing game, I have been thinking a lot about life as a simulation and as our own video game. We're like all in our own games. You know what I'm saying? The like in prize or like you win. I don't even know a lot about video games. Like, what do you win at the end of Nintendo? You like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, with Animal Crossing, it's like that KK is coming to perform at your island every Saturday. That's how you beat the game.
So, and that's success, right? That's success for that game. So it's like, if you're in your own simulation, your own video game, the small little wins that you are seeking are so big in the grand scheme of your game. And I see that because you do find the mundane joyful. Like, I have had so many fun memories with you where you're like, you guys, we were all going on this giant road trip. You're like, I brought so many snacks. And you were so excited
Oh, hell yeah.
About the snacks.
A road snack is everyone. It should be everyone's top five favorite things. Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you think of anything better than like I'm on the road and someone brought a salty treat?
No, I'm the same with you. It has to be salty, not sweet. Like eating potato chip, maybe with like a dill pickle flavoring.
Oh my God, that sounds so good right now.
I would eat the shit out of that right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so like that to me is such a wonderful, beautiful Meredith Hilaridith answer because that is who you are. And it shows people love watching you find joy in the mundane. Your vlog is you finding joy.
Yeah, the vlog really is, that is like seriously what my whole entire vlog is. I used to like push myself to try and be like, this week I'm going to have a recipe video or like a how-to or like, you know, be a YouTuber. But now I don't even try anymore. I'm just like, I'm only going to talk about the things that make me happy, which is mostly just like what book I'm reading. And then also like here, I'll film myself chopping veggies. Because
I will make a recipe. You're just not going to get it. You're not going to. And it's like, you know, when we go on our road trips and we get to do awesome workshops together and we're in hotels and we talk for at length, you and I have had conversations about hotel robes and how wonderful and cozy they are. It's just,
well, hotel alone time is also like one of my top favorite moments. And luckily we all share in that. Like, I can't think of anyone in Improve It who I've done a travel with.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a few people who are like, let's go party. But for the most part, all of us are on the same page of let's get an early dinner so we can hurry back to our hotel rooms and be alone. Like,
which people think that's so like crazy because people think improvisers are constantly cracking jokes, but we like really crave.
Oh my God. I'm dying for just like. I'm just going to be, oh my gosh, contacts out. I'm drooling talking about it. Contacts out, PJs on, the cool sheets that no one's ever touched till you. What, you know what I mean? Like that day.
You're really low at a 68 degree. Retainers in, pop a multivitamin.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Felicia got like a glass of wine for her alone time. And I was like, that's so freaking fun. Like you're taking it to the next level. You're going to sit in bed with a glass of wine. One time we got chicken tendies.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Remember when we got chips and dip on the boat going to Savannah, but we didn't, but we just were talking about. See, and even that, like, it's just silly little fun things.
Yes.
The peeps have no clue what we're talking about on that part. But you
well, Aaron just, like, decided to lie to all of us.
Yes, I did.
We were getting on a boat. We were staying in a hotel that was its own island, and to go get dinner, we had to catch a boat. And Christy, who is so intense about, like, time, which is good.
Yeah,
which is good. It's good for her leadership role.
Yes.
To be like, we have to make this time. So we had to make this boat, but it was like, I was checking into the hotel and the boat was in 15 minutes. Oh my God. And remember, I just made it. But then it turned out the boat actually doesn't follow the schedule. And then it just goes back and forth is really what happens. But then Aaron decided to lie to us all and said, but there are chips and salsa on the boat.
Yeah.
And we're like, really?
Yeah.
And then she was like, yep, there are chips and salsa on the boat. And then like, that just wasn't true at all. She just made it up and she knew she was making it up.
Wait, Meredith. And remember you thought on this trip that we were in Atlanta.
Yep. The whole, like, I was like aware that I was going to Savannah, but in my brain, I was going to Atlanta.
Oh,
and this is like a quick 24-hour trip. And we're walking around there. We're in Savannah walking around. I've landed there. Obviously, I got there. And Aaron was like, have you ever been here? And I said, I came here with you. Remember? We all got vegetarian sushi, blah, 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 blah. And then Aaron was like, I don't think Improve It has been to Savannah. And then I was like looking around and I'm like, it does look different. Yeah. And then I realized that I was actually not where I thought I was.
That was amazing. Oh, my God. See, Mayor, these are the things you can't make up. You can't make it up. It's the best.
Hey, peeps, I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to the show.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really digressing from the show today because I just really all I wanted to do was just talk to you for 30 minutes. So this is it. But okay, let's go back to your vlog because your vlog is so fun. And it's okay. All about coziness. It's all about silliness, creativity. How did you land on those things as your North Star?
Honestly,
like during all the uncertain times we all go through.
Right. I mean, it's a mix of, I know what I like to watch on YouTube. I know what my content preference is. And I also get I started to get a lot of comments from like regular viewers who were like, oh, this was so cozy. I really liked this. And it's like not what I expected. Like they just like seeing me and my husband, Brian, like talk to each other and be a little silly, or they really like, you know, just watching me cook or watching me garden. And I feel like it's interesting because I started vlogging and then I started journaling as well. And journaling is like one of the biggest, you know, proponents for folks who are trying to rewire their brains to enjoy small things, you know? So I have a gratitude journal that I've been doing for like 5 years. And I just pick a highlight of the day, but my rule is that it can have nothing to do with work or a career. So it has to be outside of like work or any like outside idea of success. So it's typically something like Brian made me gnocchi, or like I got to see the baby bird today that's in the nest outside. That's like my highlight of the day. And I also pick a sticker to go with it. So there's,
I love a sticker. Like, does it complement the journal entry? Like, does it have?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Erin, I spend hundreds of dollars on stickers a year.
I believe it. And I'm not, there's no judgment.
So I have like such a wide variety that I can typically find one that matches whatever my highlight was.
You keep the journals and go back and read them?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then the other thing about vlogging is it's kind of like a journal. It's kind of like a diary. And I have similar, like sometimes on my vlog, I'll say like, you know, today I had a really overwhelming work day or something. And occasionally I'll like, you know, film something that has to do with work. But for the most part on my vlogs, I am really just focusing on like, oh, this is a really beautiful flower I'm seeing while I'm on my walk. Or
the small things.
And these are just like, like moments like, oh, the weather is perfect right now, you know, and like documenting those things rewires your brain to appreciate them more and to remember them more than the other things. So like I eventually stopped thinking about work after work. I stopped, you know, just like, I just became way calmer. I'm also like on meds, so that helps me be calm. Yeah. But
let's be real. Truly, you got to medicate to get to the baseline. I did.
Yes.
Do it too. You know,
you gotta love those meds. And like sometimes like the journaling and all those practices just aren't enough without the meds, but they do really help. I mean, rewiring my brain to like now if I ever hear about someone else's success in my industry, there's no, like, I don't jump to a comparison. In fact, the thought of being successful in my industry actually kind of really stresses me out because it takes away from the calm I've set up. Like, the thought of, like, I don't even have an agent right now. When I lost my agent a couple years ago and I haven't looked back because the thought of getting a call that's like, you have an audition tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is too upsetting to me because I'm like, but tomorrow's the day, like, I have plans to walk to the forest.
Yeah. Okay. See, Mayor, this is what's up. And that's what I'm saying. The beauty in that, because you and I came through Chicago around the same time. Mm-hmm. You are genuinely, like, hilarious. And I you and I, let me say this. I compared myself to our team for so many years because I genuinely am not as great of performers. I'm just not. Y'all are amazing.
That's so crazy because like when it comes to like leading workshops, I literally can't. You are the top. Like you are, not to say anything against anybody else. Everybody does a great job, but yours are just so silly and genuine and fun. Like you're so comfortable leading a group of people, but also like humbling yourself and giggling at yourself, that which makes people comfortable. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
No, thank you. I'm working on receiving. But let's talk about this because I think this is really real no matter what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. I compared myself for a long time to the amazing, awesome, hilarious people on our team in terms of improv abilities. I was like, mm-hmm. I was afraid to play. I truly was because everyone is so unbelievably talented. And then exactly what you're saying, and I'm not trying to turn this on me, but just to kind of piggyback and say it happens to everybody. I was like, what is success for me? It's different. Improv is a different tool for me than performing. Yeah. It's the facilitation side of making it accessible to everybody. That is what is my joy and my success and my happiness. But it took me a long time to arrive. It took me probably 6 years.
I believe it.
Yeah, 2020, I think, because I had to. But and it's so beautiful for you to say that. And for you all to please go see, we are going to put it in the show notes. You have to watch Mira's vlog. But you are such a talent. You have much success already has happened in your past. And to just see how you've used joy through a lot of life's uncertainty is really freaking beautiful. I want to talk about that because you've been creating in Chicago for 17 plus years, and that's mm-hmm. a very long time to keep shape. Yeah. So what's kept you going through seasons that have felt like failure?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, like there have been so many days recently, especially like when I'm creating content for the Adler, because I create a lot of comedic content.
Yeah.
And there's been so many times recently where it's like you read the news and then you're supposed to like go write something funny, you know, or I, you know, get a call from a family member and there's something going on in my family that's like hard. And then I'm supposed to be silly and funny. And then there's also just like we're talking about that feeling of like, am I right? Am I being funny for the right things? Yeah. Like, am I doing everything right? Or am I selling myself short or whatever? And I guess just what I've learned is I've like learned to, first of all, kind of recognize in myself my strengths and weaknesses. So I work best alone and then bouncing ideas off of people. I also am really bad at pitching my own ideas and sometimes need to like fully execute something before I can get someone to understand what's in my stupid brain, especially because
I have a stupid brain. I'm going to back that up. No stupid brain.
But you know what I mean? My humor is stupid humor. Like I like to be a little dumb.
It's silly, and that is a very smart thing to pull off.
Yeah. So anyway, like, I guess it helps when someone comes to me and says, hey, do you want to do this show? Could you write something for it? Because otherwise, I will not pursue. So when somebody else is asking me to do something, then I'm totally in it. And especially in the last few years, my goal has been, how can I make this the easiest lift for myself while also being so fun for me?
Oh.
So like Brian and I just did a show around Christmas time, just the two of us. And we're like, let's just have fun writing something together. And we wrote content that was so silly and dumb, like just a few pieces. And we're like, you know, let's only do 15 minutes. Let's not make it wild. Let's only make two of the pieces things we have to memorize. Let's make the, you know, the other ones things we can read from a piece of paper, just so that like we're not putting all this pressure on ourselves, but we're still doing like excellent work because it comes from a place of love and silliness. So And it was, we were both just like, for that show in particular around Christmas time, we were both just so happy. Like we just both, we ended the show and we're like, that was so fun. Like the audience was with us the whole time. We had fun doing it, you know, like.
That's why you do it. That's the sickest yeah. right there. Well, and for the peeps listening, I want to give a little context. Brian, your husband, is Brian Holden, mm-hmm. you two met at University of Michigan, right?
Yeah. And
doing Star Kids, which is a parody of Harry Potter, right?
Well, yeah, we met. Well, we were both theater majors, so that's how we met.
We created it together.
Brian is one of the founders and creators of Star Kid. So the first show that they wrote and performed was a Harry Potter musical. That's like, this is just a group of, like, we were a group of friends who did parody stuff all the time together in college. And then the first time it was like filmed and put on YouTube and became a company was a Harry Potter musical. I was not involved in a Harry Potter musical other than being in the audience and giggling. But the theater company was like officially born out of that. So then the group of friends that we were became an actual theater company. So Brian's like, he's an owner of the company and a founder, and I'm a mere player.
You were a big player on that stage of life. And it's fun to know you and Brian separately and then know you both as you know, became, just like John and I, you were friends, then you were man friend, woman friend.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were engaged.
And then we became married.
Married, which is so fun. I love it. And y'all are just such a joy to watch. And what a gift to be able to perform with your partner. How fun is that? Like, yeah. What a gift.
It is.
You're a gift. I've kept you all longer than I said I would. So I have two questions, okay? This is one that I know our peeps will like. So if somebody is listening and they're in a hard season and they feel like joy is a luxury they can't afford right now, what would you tell them?
I would say the best things in life are free.
No, but for real, like, it is just a mind shift.
Yeah.
I know that, like, because one of the comments I get all the time is, oh, I wish I had more time to read books like you do. And I'm like, there is time, you know, I don't know. Everyone gets usually screen time reports. And I think I if we knew how much time we spend on our phones or prioritizing, yep. like, these other things, like, just pick up the book instead or whatever it is that is, like, a habit that you know will help promote your own happiness. Just make it a priority in any way that you can. So even though it like feel, I, it's like a mind shift because it's like, well, what are the things that feel most important to you? And you feel like you can't afford this. Like, so what does that mean? You don't have time for it. You can't prioritize it because it's not as important. It's like, these are things that like typically people can shift to find.
Yeah.
Because coziness doesn't need to mean that you have a hotel room that you're spending a lot of time in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could change your screen report for a book report, you know.
A book report. Read a book report.
A book report. Library cards are free. Library cards. I think. I don't know. I think they're still free.
Yeah,
they should be free. I hope so, too. Okay. We didn't get to talk about your dog, but I know that your dog makes you so happy.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you can incorporate it in this answer. How are you going to make work more playful today?
Oh, well, I'm about to go put a costume on and interview an astronomer. So it's about to get so playful. That doesn't have to do with my dog, but I do include my dog in videos a lot for work.
Meredith, this made my day. So I am so, so happy the peeps got to meet you. Tell everybody where to find you on your vlog, where to find you on the tube. We'll put it in the show notes. But what do you want them to do? You want them to go to the vlog?
I think everything is at MereddidyS. So MereddidyS.
All right. So, and you got to watch it. Nicole's going to listen to this episode because, you know, she's our learning experience manager. she is probably one of your biggest fans. And also,
I know she wrote to me. That's so nice. Nicole, yeah, well, that's nice.
She helps with this show, so she will be listening to this episode. It's probably your favorite one. And it's so interesting because you both share this love of finding joy in the small things. It's so beautiful. It inspires me, honestly. And I just adore you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Erin. Love you.
Love you. Okay, as we wrap, peeps, here's what I want to leave you with. Joy is not frivolous. It's not a distraction from the real work. It's the thing that makes the real work possible. And the people like Meredith who figure that out, the ones who let themselves laugh and be cozy and notice the tiny, beautiful things, those are the people who make it through the chaos with their souls intact. I want to thank Meredith for being a walking reminder that life does not have to be so serious all the time. She is a gift, and I'm so glad she's my friend, and she's been here with us at Improve It for 10 plus years. Oh, so peeps, it's time for the playdate practice. This is where you put the playdate into practice all week long. So this week, I want you to make a tiny joy list. 5 things. That's it. 5 small things that make you feel good. Your morning coffee. A specific playlist. Maybe Meredith's vlog. The way your dog looks at you when you come home. The sound of rain. Whatever it is. Write them down. Put them somewhere you can see them. And then the next time everything feels like it's falling apart, go do one of those things on purpose. Not as a reward for surviving, as a strategy for thriving. So don't forget to take the quiz, How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty, in the show notes. It's the perfect next step after everything we talked about today. And until next time, keep playing, keep learning, and keep failing forward. I'll see you soon.